Okay.
Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome, John.
I believe we have a quorum, correct, Chris?
Yes.
We have more than a quorum. We're good.
All yours, John.
Karen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, John.
I can't hear you for some reason.
I can hear you.
I can hear both of you.
Still can't hear anything.
Okay. Well, maybe we have Patrice start.
Karen, I'm going to jump off and jump back on again.
Okay, no problem. Okay.
Okay, we'll wait for John.
Still can't hear you.
Nothing, John? Can you hear us now? No? I guess not.
Karen, go ahead without me while I figure out why I can't hear you guys.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll start the roll call. Tana Andover? Avon?
Larry Burrell here.
Berlin?
Michael Hurd. And Micah Hearn.
Bloomfield. Bolton.
Patrice Carson here.
Canton.
Neil Pate here.
Columbia. Coventry.
Todd Penny here.
East Granby. East Hartford. East Windsor. Ellington.
Ken Radzwan.
Enfield.
Donald Noon's here.
Farmington.
Russ Arnold's here.
Glastonbury.
Dan Pennington here.
Granby.
Kirk Severance.
City of Hartford.
Frank Delarupa here.
Owen Deutsch here.
Hebron.
Kevin Kelly's here.
Manchester. Mansfield.
Derek Delay here, Mansfield.
Marlborough. New Britain. Newington. Plainville.
John Bossy here.
Rocky Hill.
Steve Soapblack here.
Simsbury.
Adam Kessler here.
Summers, no. South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle's here.
Southington.
Annette Turnquist here.
Stafford.
Ben Copperway here.
Suffield. Tolland.
David Corcoran here.
Vernon.
Good afternoon, everyone. Dave Smith here.
West Hartford.
James Greg's, Brennan.
Greg Summer here.
Wethersfield.
Derek Greger here.
Willington.
Trey Spazzato here.
Windsor. Windsor Locks. Is there anyone here from GHTD?
Mary Abishio. Excuse me.
Is there anyone else from any town or organization?
Recording in progress.
Darren, Peter Hughes.
Thanks, Peter.
Jennifer Carrier, Federal Highway Administration.
Buck Harlow with Fussin' O'Neill.
Mike Fisher from BL Companies.
Jay Stange from Transport Hartford.
Joe Sermala from Cardinal Engineering for Town of Stafford.
Is there anyone else?
Don Costello from Prime AE Group.
Josh Hull, Tolland intern.
Erica Lindeberg from Jacobs Engineering.
Is there anyone?
Yeah, there's a lot of echo. That's not going to work.
Maybe, John, if you turn your volume down, like for your computer, but not for your... So on your computer, your volume goes down, but you're not for your mic. I don't know if you can do it separately. Sometimes that helps.
Or mute the computer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Thank you for being more succinct.
No problem.
Then unmute yourself and see if it works.
How's that one? No.
Yeah, John, this is Matt. I think you have to mute your computer and then just, you know, speak into your phone or however else you're dialed in.
I'm on the phone, but it's still actually, no matter what I do on the computer.
Can't have both.
That's the issue then. You want to just do the phone, John?
We can't hear you, John. Do you want to start, Patrice?
I'm happy to start if that's all right.
Can you hear me? Patrice, go ahead. I'll just listen.
Oh, now all of a sudden it's working.
Oh, it worked.
I don't know what you did, but it's working. Can you hear us? No. All right, I will begin. Thank you, Karen, for calling the roll. The first item on the agenda is public forum. I don't know if there is anybody here from the public who wishes to address the committee. Actually, John, I think we can hear you. I don't see anybody, Karen. Yes, Jay?
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much to the chair and the members. I appreciate the opportunity. I just wanted to make a quick announcement, which is that on November 21st, Transport Hartford is going to be hosting our fifth annual Multimodal Transit Summit. And if you'd like updated information, please reach out to me. Some of the folks that are on this meeting are going to be engaged with us, and we're really looking forward to having a regional discussion on transportation and mobility issues in our region. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you, Jay. I can't see everybody. If there is anybody else who from the public who wishes to address the committee, I guess unmute yourself and do so. All right. We'll start then with the adoption of minutes from the Transportation Committee meeting on September 26, 2022. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved, Chris Hedge.
Do I have a second?
Second, Steve Soplak.
Very good. Any discussion or amendments to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And if you abstain, please state your name. And one at a time, please, for Karen. Wow, no abstentions, Karen. All right. It is unanimous. We will move on to staff reports. First thing is 60 seconds for safety.
Okay, thank you, Patrice. I just wanted to give a quick snapshot of one crash statistic for Connecticut. Unfortunately, we are heading in the wrong direction in Connecticut with traffic deaths. As of October 4th in 2022, there's 282 traffic deaths this year. And as you see, other years were significantly less. And the breakdown in the lower part of the slide by the type of crash, the driver and passenger deaths. The first number, 126, is a five-year average. This year, as of October 4th, we're at 180, up 42%. In the pedestrian category, five-year average, 39. This year, we have 44. That's more than, as of October 4th, more than one pedestrian fatality a week. That's up 12%. Pedicycles average 2.4, this year four. That statistic is kind of skewed due to the low numbers, up 66%. And then motorcycle fatalities, five-year average 51.8, this year 54, up 4%. So we just, everybody does their what they can do with our infrastructure, and a lot of it's behavioral. Just so a general reminder, don't speed and don't drive distracted, and encourage your family and friends to do the same. And it is Pedestrian Safety Month in October. And just another reminder, as it gets darker earlier, encourage people to wear light colored clothing. Visibility is a big part of pedestrian crashes and injuries and fatalities. So that's all I had for 60 seconds today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Any questions or comments for Roger? Hearing none, I will move on to the IIJA update.
I can kick us off with that. Elizabeth Sanderson, BIL coordinator. We're tracking a couple of programs. This first slide is just a brief overview of the transportation programs. Thriving Communities, which Kyle will dig into a little in a few minutes. National Culvert Removal, Replacement, and Restoration Grant Program. This is a culvert AOP program offered by FHWA. Believe it's offered annually. We just increased the funding for this year for the extra federal money. And I have a meeting set up later this week to review some of the options that Connecticut might have for, since this is specific to certain species of fish passageways. So there's a little caveat to this opportunity that not all towns may be eligible for the opportunity, but there's also additional information on our website. The third program, the bullet, is Advanced Transportation Technology and Innovation, which is, again, another program that has been reimagined for this year, now known as ATTAIN. And then the fourth here on this list is Strengthening Mobility and Revolutionizing Transportation. That's a SMART grant program. And there's definitely encourage everybody to review the website if you have questions and want to dig into anything further, give me a call or an email. We also have our general interest form that is up. I've gotten one response so far from a town. I'd really love to hear what projects that you're interested in proposing, especially as we get into the budget season. to get everybody thinking about what projects you want to prioritize over the next year or 3 to 5 years too, with the CIP that you're going to be developing with your municipality. So on this next slide is climate and resiliency funding opportunities, just kind of sharing these programs since it's somewhat related to transportation in the way that it's flood control, flood mitigation. Some town engineers have been interested in stormwater management. So there's some opportunities here. I have a meeting tomorrow with the state representative from the DMAS organization, who is the state's eligible applicant, and any towns interested in applying would then be considered sub-applicants to the FMA and BRIC, and DEP also has their climate resiliency funding. And the next page here are some of the future opportunities we're tracking, just as I mentioned earlier, to prioritize as these come in, thinking about budgeting. Raise, I believe Rob had an update that the NOPE was expected to come out in November. So for that opportunity, and then just keeping safe streets and roads for all, and the bridge investment program. Both projects, we have the opportunity as a region to bundle projects within. So if you don't meet a minimum threshold for the funding, there's the opportunity to work as a region, and we work together to get an application, a joint application in, and hoping to get some more robust applications in for the next year. And then also tracking workforce development programs, and just because there's some opportunities, this is part of a Jobs Act for workforce development specific to transportation, as well as infrastructure and building, particularly for like flood mitigation building, as well as sustainable building practices. So just throwing those out, and then if anyone has any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the group? Hearing none, we will move on to the next item, which is the CROG regional. Yes, I'm sorry.
This item continues. Kyle is going to update us on this slide. No, that's fine.
No worries. Hi, everyone. So just a brief minutes on the Thriving Communities program. The communities you see listed there, there's about 9 eligible communities in our region. I sent an email to them last week explaining the program in more detail. But essentially, it provides technical assistance. So if you're finding staff capacity or bandwidth to be an issue when developing projects or getting the pipeline further, this program will be a benefit to you. It's over a 2-year period, specifically focused on targeted geographic areas. What I would say beyond what you can see here on the bullet points is they're only giving 30 of these nationwide. So if you find that you are interested in this program, I would reach out to me, and we'll see if we can cobble together some sort of joint regional application. So far, I've heard from Enfield and Manchester that they would be interested in. So if you're from one of those other 7 communities and you're interested in this program, please reach out to me. We'll see if we can cobble something together and put together a strong joint application. Thank you.
And I'd just like to add regarding the RAISE grant that is coming, we're expecting a NOFO out next month. We were successful at CROG in getting a RAISE grant last year for over $16 million in Plainville and New Britain. And that's part of a $30 million project. Now, that doesn't mean, usually they rotate these things around, but that doesn't mean that CROG is shut out next time, because that they rotate them around usually based on congressional districts. And that was under Hayes's district. We also have Larson's and Courtney's as the majority of our region. So I'm not sure if that's part of the selection criteria anymore. It never was, but informally it was. And if you're budgeting for next year and you have a big ticket item, you may want to budget for, try budgeting something for the match if you do plan on submitting a RAISE grant. It's 20% match minimum. Thanks.
All right. Any other questions or from the committee or anything further on Krogan? I assume we can move forward now. Sorry. The next item on the agenda is the Krog Regional Micromobility Feasibility Study. This was posted in the information that was sent out. Krog?
All right, thank you, Patrice. So this is our draft final report. It's been reviewed and accepted by our steering committee. We're looking for approval from the transportation committee in November. If anyone does have interest or looking to get more information, we are going to be presenting our consultant, Foursquare ITP, will be presenting at the policy board on Wednesday. So if anyone has any questions or comments, feel free to just let me know, email me or call.
Very good. Any questions currently or now from the committee? Hearing none, thank you, Mike. We'll move on to the comment letter on draft state rail plan that was also posted in the packet.
Yeah, this is one of two comment letters that we have on statewide plans. This is the state rail plan. I'm also gonna talk after this about the statewide freight plan. Each of those documents came out in draft format for comments from the regions, and the comments are due before the end of the month. So we did review each plan, and we've included in your packet draft comment letters for each. So if you have any comments on the comment letters, that we would amend the comment letters potentially and submit them as such. But right now, I can just review these in general. Basically, the state rail plan first, which is up on the screen. It did include all the Hartford line amenities and double tracking that we expected to see in it. Basically, these documents serve as like an eligibility requirement for a lot of federal funding. So it cast a wide net, and all of our improvements that we expected were included in there. It also, but it did not include timeframes, which is fine. It just has to include those in the plan for us to be eligible. It also did indicate that the state would be studying electrification of many lines, including the Hartford line. So we look forward to that study being completed. And included some language for procurement of dual mode locomotives, making it a one seat ride on the potential for a one seat ride on the Hartford line, even onto the New Haven line and into New York, which is good. We did offer some comments on this. We suggested some possible additional language regarding last mile connections. So connections from the train stations to residents, being it multimodal connections or whatnot. So we have a comment on that. We also have comment to continue coordination with Massachusetts and advocacy for the connection, a better connection to Boston via the East-West connection in Massachusetts. And of course, we had some editorial comments, and you can find that in your package. So that is the rail plan. And I guess if there's any questions on that, if there's not, I'll move on to the freight plan.
Rob, it's Chris Edge. Just one minor thought. I had gotten a comment from a couple different people who actually live out in Canavon area that coming to the Berlin station and then getting down to New Haven to catch a train to New York City or south to Westport, they miss it by a couple minutes. And I don't know how we deal with that, but the fact that maybe some language on aligning the times so that if somebody is in Berlin or Meriden or Hartford or wherever, that they can actually catch the train to go further south to the city. Again, I'm not a train guy, so I don't understand it, but a couple minutes, if they could look at it, would be great, especially because that would bring a lot of people, particularly if you're looking at Canton, Simsbury, Avon, people with quite a bit of income coming into Berlin potentially to spend money either before or after their work day. Thank you.
Certainly, certainly. We'll look into it and include a comment as necessary.
Piggybacking on Chris's comment, event trains, for example, when there is a major event going on in New York City and people are coming from Springfield or whatever, and they're taking the train through to connect to New Haven, to connect to New York. A lot of times that happens on the front end or the morning end, but it does not happen on the way home. And so it creates an issue for people who want to take the train both ways, but can't get home.
Okay, great.
Any other comments from the committee? And if not, I guess your request is to review and get back to you before the next meeting, Rob?
These we would need comments on real soon. The comments are due to DOT by the end of the month. So we would need them within the next couple of days if there are written comments coming into us.
Okay, great.
And you can send those directly to me.
Great. If you want to go over the statewide freight plan then.
Sure. So similar thing. This is due by the end of the month, and we would need any comments folks have on this by then, but in the next couple of days. Basically, we had some comments on their freight plan. It was a very good comprehensive plan. However, we thought there could be opportunities to have a more proactive stance on warehousing and land use in the in preferred locations for those activities instead of kind of chasing the developments as they come, which is probably easier said than done, but I think it would be beneficial to take a more proactive stance, maybe not in this plan, but in separate, planning activities. Separately, the plan states additional crowd coordination. We have a comment, just COG coordination. We have a comment to, as to how to potentially formalize that. We have a comment mentioning that, freight extends well beyond our region. So just making everybody cognizant of planning regionally on a national level, Northeast US. And then we had some comments on truck parking. The state is doing a statewide truck parking study. And we had a comment also to include some analysis of cab parking, which some towns have found problematic, where cabs are parking along in their communities in inappropriate locations. So if there's any comments on that, we'd be happy to, add to our letter.
Very good. Is there anything right now that any of the committee members want to express? Or if not, within the next couple of days, get your comments to Rob. Thanks, Rob. Good work on both of those for big reports. Moving on to the Lots of Quarterly report that was also posted in the packet.
Okay, thank you. So this is the quarter one quarterly report, and there's a couple of spreadsheets that are included, and so I'm just going to go over some of the highlights. So conduct did issue 6 authorization to award letters in the amount of $15,202,566, which is substantial for a first quarter. So congratulations to those towns that had authorization to award letters issued. We also have 6 projects that received authorization to advertise letters, and these are in the amount of $11,697,000. So hopefully in the second quarter or the third quarter, we'll have a substantial amount also expended and funded. So good job to all the towns. We did receive 3 quarter four design submissions, and we anticipate 17 design submissions. And I said quarter one, but it's actually quarter two. Sorry about that. 55 projects have been awarded since the program inception, and 3 project applications were submitted to conduct. And right now we're going back and forth with comments to the municipalities with a new 2022 solicitation application. So as soon as the municipalities send them back to me, I will review and try to get them submitted to conduct as soon as possible so that we can receive commitment to fund letters and have more projects in the queue. So I look forward to that because we have another solicitation coming up in very soon. So there are a couple of municipal scheduling updates that are requested. One I will make a comment on. The first one is Hebron, and that one is Wall Street and Main Street. And I did put it on here. It is a final design submission. Unfortunately, they've been going back and forth with the encroachment permitting process. They did contact me about that, and it's probably gone over a year back and forth. So I'm hoping we can get that rectified sooner rather than later. The next project is Stafford Furnace Avenue. Devin's here today, but I don't know if you want me to just say, I think it has to do with we're looking for a funding increase request. So the reason for the delay in the project, but I don't know if you want to provide any other scheduling updates.
That's part of it. Rights away was also a considerable delay recently. We're it might even be before 12-1 that we do the final design submission. So we're getting close.
Great, thank you. And then the last one is Plainville, which is Whiting Street. And I know that John, I think, is on the line. And I know he's had some difficulty with staffing, but I don't know if you wanted to add anything additional, John Fossey.
Town of Plainville is gonna submit the first week of December. We've had some issues with a retirement and unable to fill the position. So we've had some delays in regards to generating the preliminary design. Hopefully we will resolve those in the next month or so and move the secondary and the final design more quickly than the preliminary design.
Okay, thank you, John. Other than that, if the municipalities could review the scheduling dates on the report, if I have anything incorrect or any amounts incorrect, please feel free to reach out to me and let me know. Thank you. Good job to all the municipalities.
Thank you, Satoria. Is there any questions or comments for Satoria on this while we're here? Hearing none, our next item is Executive Director Update. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Patrice. Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you online. Matt Hart here. I have just half a dozen items quickly. First, want to thank my staff colleagues for their good reports. Secondly, I'd like to congratulate and welcome my colleague, Jay Stange, on his appointment to Transport Hartford. Jay, we look forward to working with you on micromobility and related projects across our region. Secondly, wanted to share with the committee that the policy board, like they do every year, has appointed an ad hoc legislative committee to prepare a draft legislative agenda for the policy board's endorsement in January. And that committee will be meeting for the first time this Thursday. And it will be reviewing some number of transportation related items. So Rob and I will make sure to coordinate with you and make sure that you'll be able to review our proposals as well. Next item, I wanted to touch on the bipartisan infrastructure law, IIJA update that both Kyle and Elizabeth provided earlier, and really wanted to encourage all of our members. You're gonna be starting, if you haven't already, your capital improvement programs for the next year and in the years beyond, and really would encourage you to think about BIL opportunities and the extent to which you can look to build in the local match in your capital plans. know, this would be a good opportunity now. Recall, we've got another 4 years remaining on the program here. So let's keep that in mind, the local match in mind, as we prepare our local CIPs. And then just two more things, Patrice. One to mention, because many of the folks in this committee are town engineers, public works directors, CROG's Municipal Services Committee will be, we're going to be holding a special meeting dedicated to regional approaches to stormwater management. We're going to be looking at any number of regional options. So we're going to be inviting in some experts from UConn to talk about the topic. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of local stormwater utilities and what might we want to do acting as a region, because I think we all know stormwater is a significant issue for our region, and the fix will be very, very costly. So does it make sense to pool together our efforts on a regional basis? And then lastly, I wanted to touch on Rob Eloise's mention of the RAISE grant. You know, the $16 million grant we're getting to close the gaps in Plainville and make those connections in New Britain. We had very good press yesterday. We were in the Sunday Current front page. So great work on that, and really looking forward to that project proceeding to the next phases. That completes my report. Happy to take any quick questions you might have.
Thank you, Matt. Do any committee members have any questions or comments for Matt?
Chris said, just a quick thank you for the tour up in Windsor/Hartford. That was really wonderful to see what the River Recovery Capture is doing, and it was very enjoyable. So just thank you very much to Matt and the CROG staff for setting it up.
I just want to point out in the chat, someone just posted the article that Matt was referring to as well. Any other comments?
Patrice, Peter?
Yes, Peter.
Matt, on the legislative agenda, where are we standing with CROG taking some control of LOTSUP? I know you wanted to have some more time as you just came on last spring. Where do we stand?
Thank you, Peter, for raising that. And that was a component of our agenda last year. And really, we worked to address that issue through the DOT's lien process. And I think some of the changes they made were an outcome of that. I don't know that we need to include more on that item for the upcoming year, but that's certainly something we'll discuss, and I'll involve Rob and other CROG staff in that conversation. I think we made progress during the lien process that the DOT held. Rob, I don't know if there's any other comments you would share on that point.
Not right now, no.
Any other comments? All right, well, thank you again, Matt. Next item on the agenda under other is Reconnecting Communities Discretionary Grant Program, CROG support letter for the Greater Hartford Mobility Study. I think this was also in the packet.
Yes. Matt, did you want to comment on this, or would you like me to take it?
You can go ahead, Rob. You know, I think we had a pretty good discussion under staff reports, and we're looking for the committee's endorsement, correct, before we submit it.
Yeah, we can certainly get, this is just to support CONDOT's application for a, their Connecting Communities thing and application, and really they're applying for a significant amount of funding to advance the Greater Hartford elements of the Greater Hartford Mobility Study into the environmental and preliminary design process. It's mainly in Hartford and East Hartford, and both those communities have supported the grant application. So this is CROG's support letter to accompany that application. So we just wanted to share with you that we are in support of our communities that supported this application.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. This is Matt. I misspoke earlier, Patrice. I was on the wrong agenda item. So good summary there, Rob. Again, we're excited about the potential here. We've been working closely with the DOT and the other key stakeholders, and we're optimistic that they'll be able to receive the grant funding in order to take this project to the next step.
And at this time, you're not looking for support, action from this committee, right?
Right.
Okay. Any questions, any comments on the letter from any of the committee members? I don't see or hear any, so I guess we can move on to item 5, TIP amendments.
Yeah, we have a number of TIP amendments in 4 categories. Most of them involve STP Anywhere funding, which we are always happy to get because it can be used anywhere in the state. And then the 4th one is Bridge Formula Program funding, which is being used for some bridge deck preservation. Item 1 is for illumination at various locations in District 2. Most of that is outside of our region, but it does include some illumination on Route 2 in Marlboro, Route 6 in Columbia, Coventry, and Mansfield. Item 2 is various traffic signal controls improvements. There's a list of them in the packet. This is in District 1. This is mostly within CROG. As far as this item goes, it'll fund 16 locations in 10 of our towns. The number 3 is the same thing, traffic signal control, but this is in District 2. Once again, most of these locations are outside of CROG, but there are 3 signals included in Mansfield. And then finally is the bridge deck improvements that are using Bridge Formula Program. So all these seem to be the appropriate funding sources. So staff recommends the committee support these TIP amendments.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Rob. And there were no additional projects that needed to be added.
No.
Okay, great. Do you want to, would this be appropriate as a motion for the entire set?
1 through 4? Yes.
Okay, so I will hear a motion from someone for approval of the TIP amendments as presented.
So move, Chris Edge.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Dave Smith.
Great, thank you. Any questions, concerns, amendments, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? All right, unanimous. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is the Transportation Rural Improvement Program, the TRIP Guidelines and Solicitation. And this was in the packet as well. And was there a webinar or something on this the other morning, Thursday morning maybe? Last week?
I believe the DOT, Patrice, this is Matt, held something for CCM and cost members.
That's right. Thank you. All right. Who wishes to speak here from CROG on this?
I do. It's Chris. Hi, everyone. I told y'all that we would be receiving Connecticut DOT's final guidelines for the State Transportation Rural Improvement Program, IKA TRIP. We have finally received them. Unfortunately, they did not include any of our suggested comments in their final guidelines, sadly. So what we have for you is it's still going to be eight towns in our region that are going to be eligible for project submission. And these include Andover, Bolton, Columbia, Coventry, East Granby, Hebron, Stafford, and Willington. Each eligible municipality can submit one project, and the minimum funding award is $300K. There has not been a maximum project size set. However, the funding limit is only $5 million for statewide. So I guess the key is to kind of be particular in what project you submit to potentially get funding the eligible projects that for funding include a complete roadway rehabilitation, which includes resurfacing, sidewalk and curbing replacements, standalone sidewalk projects, bridge improvements, provided they meet the federal definition of a bridge, and multi-use trails. This did not include any pavement rehab projects that we potentially recommended. Our evaluation and selection process is going to mirror that of CONDOT's selection policy. This way that we are providing them with the most competitive projects to be selected in their final process. The ranking criteria includes a budget of 10 points. Public benefit will be 30 points. Of rural demographics, which is basically will be basically a sliding scale of how rural the town is 10 points. Transportation network and connectivity impact will be 25 points. Any readiness to proceed will be another 25 points. A full breakdown of this is available in the packet that we provided with this. We will be going out with an RFP immediately after this meeting. We will look to have all of the projects submitted to us by 3 p.m. on December 22nd. And then we will get the, we will then need to rank them and then get everything to, for Transportation and Policy Board approval, either in January or February to submit by the end of February 28th, 2023, to get it under CONDOT's deadline. We are looking for Transportation Committee endorsement on the evaluation criteria and selection process as presented. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to ask now.
Let me just add to what Chris said that we're looking for endorsement of these today with the selection guidelines as is. And unfortunately, as Chris mentioned, they did not include or really even we did not get a response to any of our comments. So we did in a meeting recently bring that fact up with the Bureau Chief of Planning, which this program is under. And she did say that they would be reviewing that or re-reviewing that and getting us, assumingly getting us their responses at least. And so we're awaiting that and we will press them on that. But for now, this program is rolling along. So I think it's best that we just, at least for this round, get our applications in by their deadline and follow up on the side with responses to our comments and that. So that's just so we'll be happy to take questions.
So it's a take what we can get at this point.
Seems to be the case.
Yep.
Madam Chair, I have a question, John Coleman.
Yes, John. Hear you.
What happens if we do not endorse the guidelines but still let the towns go through the application process?
Well, we're kind of just endorsing our own guidelines for selection. So these are CONDOT didn't really ask us to endorse their program. They're just putting it out there. And really what we're asking for endorsement of is our selection criteria so that we can get the applications down to the four that we submit to CONDOT.
So these in effect are ours, not CONDOT's when all is said and done?
Yes.
The what we're asking for now, yeah. I mean, yeah. They're, like I said, they asked for comments. They had a comment period on their guidelines. I don't know if they incorporated any comments from any of the COGs. I'm not sure. They looked pretty similar to when it was drafts, so I'm not positive. So I think at least we deserve a response from CONDOT. And the Bureau Chief didn't know about this and it appeared she was going to chase down at least responses to us. She thought that we deserved at least responses. So the program is going to move along with or without us. So I think for now, the best best way to go about it is to submit our projects and make a stink on a separate path.
I don't disagree with that. I still, for the life of me, and I'm not pointing at anything, but I still don't understand how a town of East Granby qualifies, no offense meant, and a town of Marlborough doesn't. It just makes absolute no sense to me at all. That's a comment.
Hey, Rob?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Kevin Kelly. I'm just curious, seeing they're not listening to our comments, did it sound like there's going to be future solicitations in the upcoming years with these changes?
Well, there's going to be future solicitations. They plan to keep this program going, but we have not gotten any response to our comments yet. So we're waiting that, and we're pressing them on that.
Thank you.
So I don't know if it will change or not. Comments.
Peter?
I make a motion we accept staff recommendations on evaluation. And this parallels lots up to DOT's and do what they want, because we're not going to do anything about it. Editorial comment aside.
I'll second that motion. It's Kevin and Heber.
Any further discussion? I make one comment in that if they do decide to take any of our comments and adjust their program, that we could come back and adjust our solicitation process and guidelines, right?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. Any other comments? All right. I have a motion on the floor to approve this as is. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Thank you. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? All right, Karen, that's unanimous. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, CROG staff, for being diligent on this. Be interesting to see what comes back.
Yep. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I think the next item on the agenda is lots of inflation-based funding adjustments, funding hard caps.
Thank you, Patrice. Okay, so this was a draft recommendations that were discussed at a special cost review subcommittee, and that was held on October 11th. And some of the recommendations that came out of that subcommittee, I'm gonna just go through all of them, and then we can approve them or not approve them as a whole. So the first one is projects that are currently in the application phase. Right now, we look under current lots of guidelines. Project cost increases of 20% or more would need committee approval prior to the receipt of the commitment to fund letter from CONDA. So the subcommittee recommended a blanket 25% increase in cost estimates for all committee approved lots of projects currently in the application phase. Projects in the design phase. So we had a meeting with CONDOT on September 29th to discuss funding increases. Currently, any increases of 20% or more need both CROG and CONDOT approval. So the subcommittee recommended that revising that percentage to 30% for CROG committee approval and maintaining the 20% increases for CONDOT approval. And CROG staff will provide quarterly updates. I'll include them in the lots of quarterly report that I currently reported on today. And then projects currently in the bidding phase. It was decided back in 2017 that CROG staff could approve bids between 20 and 25% over the engineer's estimate. The subcommittee recommends revising this from between 20 and 25% to between 20 and 40%. And then if the bid is over the 25%, to the subcommittee recommended revising this percentage to 40%. And then projects with approved funding hard caps. So historically, we have approved projects up to $3.9 million with all these substantial unit cost increases. This has definitely not been sufficient. So the subcommittee recommends increasing the current hard caps to a consistent 5.5 million while striving to maintain the hard cap for future projects seeking funding approvals beyond this level. So the subcommittee, the discussion that came and what they recommended to the transportation committee was to approve the above changes for an 18-month interim period.
Thank you, Satoria. That's exactly what we discussed in the subcommittee. I think a lot of the people that are on this call were also on the subcommittee. Are there any questions or comments regarding the memo and the recommendations? You want an action on this, Sartoria, yes, correct?
Yes, approval for it.
Okay, so I would hear a motion for approval of the October 14th LOTSIP inflation-based funding adjustment hard caps memo with the four recommendations.
Larry Burrell, so moved.
Thank you, Larry. Is there a second?
Steve Salt, Black Rocky Hill.
Thank you. All those in, or any comments or any additional questions, concerns? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Are there any abstentions? That sounds unanimous. Thank you very much. The item next on the agenda, item number 8, is the 2023 LOTSIP project solicitation selection policy, also posted. And you are looking also for action on this. Is this you as well, Sartoria?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. And thank you for the approval of the inflation-based funding adjustments as well. So I appreciate that. So this is to, we had tabled back in September, we had tabled the approval of the selection, the 2023 LOTSIP solicitation selection policy. So we also discussed this at the cost review subcommittee on October 11th. So the subcommittee recommended that the transportation committee approve an across the board increase of 25% for project and municipal funding limits and project type funding allocations. And the amounts are listed below. And just, you know, the current allocations are 3.2 million and the 25% increase is 4 million for project cost limits and also municipal funding limits. And then you can see the proposed project type funding allocations. The total is increased from 27 million for the solicitation to 33.75 million. And then we have not really changed the schedule date. The same date is, or the same scheduling is anticipated. So pretty much staff recommends transportation committee approval of the 2023 LOTSIP project solicitation selection policy as noted with the increases. And the changes are noted in red.
Thank you, Sartoria. Assuming everybody's had a chance to look at this and listen, discuss it at the last subcommittee meeting, is there any other questions or comments anybody would like to present? If not, can I have a motion to approve the revised edition of the LOTSIP 2023 LOTSIP project solicitation selection policy?
Russ Arnold, so moved.
Thank you, Russ. Is there a second?
Chris Edge, second.
Thank you, Chris. Any other discussions, amendments, questions, concerns? All those in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Unanimous. Thank you very much, Satoria.
Okay. Thank you. So the next funding increases, the West Hartford and Berlin are covered under the inflation-based funding adjustment. So we meet that threshold, so we don't have to bring it to the committee for approval since the other was approved. Is that correct, Rob? Just so you can.
Yeah.
And we just have the Stafford, which is the last one in number 9.
Item 7 that we just took action on to increase limits kind of negate the need for 2 of these funding increase requests. So which one are?
So we're going to do the Stafford one, which is the 3rd one.
Yep. So that's up on the screen.
Okay.
So are there any questions about that we don't have to go for West Hartford or Berlin?
Those are strictly bid packages.
Any questions or comments on that? I think it was kind of understood if that was approved that they would fall under. So the only one remaining is Stafford. So why don't you go ahead and go over Stafford for us?
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So this is for Stafford Furnace Avenue Reconstruction Project. The town of Stafford is requesting a funding increase of $1.715 million from $3,051,000 to $4,766,000. It's a 56.2% increase based on the current engineer's estimate. It was approved under the 2015 solicitation, progressed to the 90%. So during the preliminary design phase, the town conducted a hydraulic analysis and it anticipated increasing the drainage from 1,500 linear foot of stormwater drainage to an additional 1,200 linear feet. So these additional drainage improvements with unit cost increases, added $338,000 to the drainage pipe and structure costs. Additionally, there were drainage swales and the embankment along the pond for an additional $85,005, and gravel fill was added under the riprap and then storm sewer trenches for $157,500. There was also weighted unit cost increases specifically for process aggregate and also for HMA, and this increased by $180,000. And $150,000, and then the inflation rate increased from 2% to 5%, which is a current Condot inflation rate. So based on this, and also the combined with the increases to the percentage-based estimating items, the total funding increase requested is $1,715,000. So this was to incorporate the costs associated with initial drainage improvements and substantially higher unit prices due to inflation. Staff recommends committee approval of an additional $1,715,000 of lots of funding for the Stafford Furnace Avenue Reconstruction Project.
Move approval.
Thank you, Peter. Do I have a second?
Russ Arnold, second.
Okay, and before we go further, Devin, is there anything else you want to add?
Thank you, Satoria. She typically, as usual, says it better than I even would, and I think she summarized everything well. You know, the combination of the hydraulic analysis requiring more drainage and you know the increase to unit prices. My predecessor presented this project in 2017, so not only are we dealing with the you know, unit price increases in the post-COVID era, but, you know, original 5 years of inflation included. So that kind of adds up to where we're at.
Very good. I'm actually surprised it's only 56%, but that being said, any other comments or questions before we vote? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? All right, I think we have unanimous vote there as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other business to come before the committee? When is our next meeting? And is it all virtual or is it hybrid?
November 14th is the next meeting.
Okay.
It is the same as this meeting. I believe December's meeting will be hybrid where you can come in.
Okay, very good. Any other business to come before the committee before we adjourn then?
Patrice, I'd just like to thank you for stepping in. The issue here was operator related to a local pussycat that hit the bunk button on my computer.
Yeah, they can be little terrors, can't they?
And thank you to the staff, but thank you very much.
No problem, John. And thank you, everybody. Have a happy Halloween, and we'll see you in November. Do I have a motion to adjourn? I guess we'll do it by consensus.
We'll move.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good afternoon.